welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline Diest, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Today I'm speaking with Steve Turnbull. Hi Steve, how's it going?
Hi Mads, it's going really well. Fantastic.
Excellent. So a little introduction about Steve. So he's a USA Today best-selling writer of steampunk fantasy and dystopian sci-fi. He's worked as a screenwriter and journalist amongst other things, and he's currently writing a TV pilot script for his brand new sci-fi novel, Chimera. Thanks for coming on the show, Steve.
It's great to be here.
Excellent. Okay, so what I like to start off with is a few kind of warm-up questions. So think of it as being like some running on the spot, you know, a few toe touches, maybe some skipping.
No, I don't do that. But you can ask me some questions. I'll exercise my voice, that's fine.
Okay, so what is your favourite writing medium? So you write a lot of different things, so which is your favorite?
I can tell you which isn't, and that's short stories. I'm not very good with short stories, because my imagination keeps making the world I'm writing or the story I'm writing bigger. And I just keep getting bigger, and I can't write a short story. Not to save my life. Of course, having said that, I actually do have one, which is on up on Wattpad, which I just give away for nothing. But then that is actually set in my steampunk universe, so it's just a little snippet, and even that actually is more like an introduction to a bigger story. So. So I'm just not good at it. I do actually have another short story, which is the freebie that I give away for my fantasy worlds. But again, that's actually a prelude to one of the other stories. So it's a bit that isn't part of the main story, but it's like how the main character came to be kind of thing. So
you like anything longer that gives you some a chance to get your teeth stuck into it a bit more?
Absolutely. I mean, my novellas start at 20K, but that was when I first started writing them. Normally they go to 40K at least. And Chimera is 207K.
Whoa.
Yes. I got a complaint from a reader. They said, I couldn't finish it in one sitting. I had to stop.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Okay. So, do you write every day?
No. I mean, it's not an absolute requirement anyway. It's a good habit, but I'm never worried about that too much personally. I like to. But it depends on the schedule of the rest of my life, whether or not that's feasible. I don't feel guilty for not writing. I feel the pressure of, I really need to get on with this. But it's not a matter of procrastination particularly, although that does happen occasionally. Sometimes.
And so when you do sit down to write, what is your fuel, your writing fuel of choice?
That's an interesting question because I don't understand it. Are you talking about food or drink or music or any of those things?
Any of those things.
Right. Well, I would drink coffee, but usually I write in the evenings, so that's a bad idea. But when I block out the world with jazz, instrumental jazz. I prefer to do it that way, although I can write with the world exploding around me. I've written on noisy trains. I write on trains a lot because I end up traveling on trains a lot. again, as I say, I prefer to work with my ears plugged into music to block everything out, but I can do it without. So I don't need writing fuel, but if I have to, but if I can have it, I'll have jazz.
And any particular album, artist?
Well, I started with, I discovered the Esbjørn Svendsen Trio. Mm-hmm. It's got to be instrumental for a start, because words would interfere with the thinking. And then I started moving on to other people like them. He said, oh, goodness me, who? I can't think of their names because you've asked me now. So the Esbjørn Svendsen Trio, who are Swedish, or were Swedish, because unfortunately the main guy died, which is a shame because his stuff is awesome. And then moved on to Avishai Cohen. He's awesome. Shy Maestro, Lars Danielsson, the Tingvall Trio. That's another Swedish. I seem to like the Swedish stuff. So these boys, they're good. They're good for me.
All right. Fueled by Swedish jazz.
That's a good summary. Trios, jazz trios mostly.
Okay, good. All right, so we've got to know a little bit more about you. So how do you describe your writing, and are there any themes that you explore throughout your different writing types?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because there used to be thematically, I do go very much for handling modern prejudices, sexism, racism, religious bigotry, all your favourite prejudices. They tend to be in there somewhere, which is one reason why it's not why I write female lead characters, because I do mostly, 99% of the time. But they obviously, having a female character does lend itself to that particular issue. In my main steampunk series features an Anglo-Indian woman in the Edwardian Empire, which is great because not only did there was a phrase that they had for mixed race people of that time, and they used to say, too British for the Indians and too Indian for the British. So nobody likes her. So it gives you an opportunity to deal with that kind of situation. But obviously the story is the important thing. I don't overload it. The cultural issues are just in there. But I did have an original theme, which I tended to come out in almost all my stories, which I seem to have got away from now. But I used to write Frankenstein stories. It was always a case of somebody getting destroyed by the thing they created. And that was a common thing. But yeah, I think I've kind of got away from that, sort of. Although admittedly, Chimera is in that ballpark.
Maybe you've written it out of your system.
I think so, yes.
You've expunged the Frankenstein.
Well, you know, it's a good theme. It's an excellent theme. But you know, I've moved. We develop as writers, don't we?
Hopefully.
Yes. You know, it always gets me, you know, it's the people who complain about musicians when they change. It's like they're artists. They want to try something new. They don't want to just keep doing the same old stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to go with that. One reason why I love Bowie, because he was always changing and trying new stuff. It's the same for writers. You know, we evolve, we get better, we try new things.
Mm. Absolutely. So what's the one thing that you think that's been most helpful in improving your writing?
Writing. That's the answer.
More writing.
The thing that improves your writing is writing. Absolutely. again, I'm going to be very controversial here and say that people, newbies, worry so much about their voice. There was air quotes there when I said voice. It's like, I'm trying to develop my voice. Well, that's bollocks. I'm sorry. the way you develop your voice is by writing, and you just write. When you've done maybe 100,000 words, you know, maybe then you'll, well, by that time you should have evolved your voice, but that changes as well. You know, the way I write now isn't the same as what I was writing when I was 15. Thank God. So, you know, it's I can't even remember what the question was. Yeah, it's just writing. Writing is the important thing. That was the question, wasn't it?
So what's the one thing that you think's improved your writing in? And it's like a lot of writing.
Yes, a lot of writing. Of course, reading helps too. You do need to read. But writing is the thing that makes is the practice.
Hmm. Are you trying anything new at the moment?
Well, technically, Chimera was completely new because it's multiple POVs, as in there's something like six primary point of view characters and another six at least of secondary characters who do get section scenes where they are the POV, and multiple threads of stories, and God, it's more complicated than a piece of yarn that's all tangled up by a kitten. So that was a new thing. Constantly changing viewpoints, because in my fantasy stories, because Chimera being science fiction, in the fantasy stories, I always use a single POV, tight third viewpoint. But, you know, I could just do different things. I'm very visual. I don't know about other people. I know lots of writers are very visual, but I can see everything happening as it's happening. Mm. And because of that, I'll give you an example. At the end of my first Harry book, that's the Iron Pegasus books, the two main characters are doing something really, really amazingly weird and spectacular. It's an action adventure thing, so it's full of spectacular. But there was no way for me to show how spectacular it was from their viewpoints.
Mm.
It needed to be somebody outside looking at what they were doing. So I just changed the viewpoint to somebody who we'd never met before. This is right at the end of the book. In fact, his viewpoint is the final one. Mm. Of the entire book, because it needed to be from the outside. So it's not so much a case of trying new things. It's just a case of telling the story the way it needs to be told. Mm. Another example would be the fourth book in the Malia Anderson series. That's the detective series, the Anglo-Indian lady. Where the first 10,000 words don't feature her at all. In fact, it's somebody completely different who you've never met, because she's actually the victim. But I spend a huge chunk of the book on just the victim's journey right up to the point where things go very, very wrong for that person. Simply because that was the way the story needed to be told. And that's all it comes down to. It's whatever the story needs for it to be told the correct way. So it's not a matter, as I say, not so much a matter of trying new things. It's just telling the story.
Hmm. And you were saying that Chimera started as a TV script and then became a book and then is becoming a TV script again?
Yes. I suppose I should admit to being quite mercenary about this. I wanted to make some money out of writing.
Oh, shock horror.
I know. Now, back 10, 15 years ago, the best way to make money out of writing was to be a screenwriter. Mm-hmm. That was the most efficient way, because trying to get into trad publishing is just, even 10 to 15 years ago, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm getting on a bit. And even then I was thinking, Jesus, I can't wait 10, 15 years to get in, to start making money. And I was also very well aware that the percentages were very low. So I probably wouldn't anyway. So I thought, okay, well, look around a bit. I think visually, screenwriting. So, okay, so I started doing screenwriting. And I wrote a TV series. Well, I wrote the pilot episode of a TV series, which I called Monsters. Mm-hmm. And then that independent film came out called Monsters. Mm-hmm. So I changed it to Chimera. Anyway, that script was actually quite good, and it got me some interest. Got me some meetings with production companies. Awesome. But nobody wanted to make it, which is fair enough, because nobody makes spec scripts. They're just extremely rare. But that's fine. It told me that I was doing okay, so I wrote some other stuff, and that was all fine. I did actually get paid for a script once. My words never appeared on screen, but that's the life of a screenwriter. Anyway, so then self-publishing came along. I'm not quite sure how I discovered it, but I did. And then last year I went, it's the old smoting the heel of your hand against your brow and go, why don't I turn Chimera into a book? It's a good story. Awesome. Okay. So I went back to it because I still have most of my notes from the original versions and so forth. And I went through it and went, okay. So I sat down and turned the whole thing, not just the first episode this time, but the entire story into a book, which is why I called it the first season, I called the book the complete first season of Chimera, because it's divided out into episodes and it's just designed to be a script. Mm. And I sent it to somebody I knew in the business, and he went, well, yeah, okay, I'd like to, we could option that.
Fantastic.
And would you like to try writing the first script, the pilot script? So I went, yeah, all right. And to be honest, I mean, to be fair, because I understand how the film and TV industry works, I wouldn't have minded if they hadn't asked me. Mm-hmm. And I don't even mind. I mean, I don't want them to screw it up, but I don't mind if they change it, because books and visual media are completely different and you have mm-hmm. to focus on different things. Mm-hmm. But they asked me, so I said, of course I said yes. Of course I did. But we'll see what happens, because, again, in this particular industry, things often, mostly, never happen. But on the other hand, my daughter, who is also in the film and TV industry, is putting together a full cast audio. Well, actually, we've already done all the recording of my fantasy book, Eleanor.
How fantastic.
And we're in the... they're in the process of compiling everything, and then they'll be putting, yeah, it's a long process. But there is actually a full cast audio of that book with me narrating all of the narrating bits, which, because that's a first person, not first person, but it's a third person POV, but it's all that character. And she's alone a lot of the time. There's an awful lot of narration. It took us a very long time for me to get through the whole thing.
So it's got to be like, I don't know the length of that, but it's got to be like 12 hours long or something, wouldn't it be?
I don't know. It's 80K. So yeah, it could be that long. Mm. I don't know. We'll have to see. And my son is probably going to be doing the music, so we're just keeping it in the family.
Oh, talented family.
My wife writes as well.
Oh, Fantastic.
But she really must finish her first book. But we both have a history of journalism and such like, so writing does not scare us.
Good. So what writers do you turn to? Who inspires you?
That's a tricky one. I know you sent me the list, but I didn't bother looking that up. I'm just making this stuff up as I go, honestly.
And you're doing very well. So,
Oh, thank you.
If you hadn't said anything, no one would have known.
There are a couple of writers. I mean, when I was younger, I ate my way through every single science fiction and fantasy novel I could lay my hands on, which in the house that I grew up in wasn't too hard because my father was a science fiction nut. And then there was the local library. And it was in the years when Golance published science fiction, and they had always had a yellow – the hardbacks always had a yellow wrap cover. Mm. So you could just scan the shelves and go, Golance, yellow cover, read that. So I read everything. The inspiration – I mean, you see, I never actually meant to be a writer. I know lots of writers say, oh, I was always writing. I wasn't. I was rubbish at it. But I was always telling stories to myself, making up stories all the time. But it just never occurred to me to write. And I accidentally picked up this book, which wasn't science fiction. It was Laurie Lee's Cider with Rosie. Laurie Lee being a poet, but this was his autobiography, the first of his autobiographies. And I read it, and confession time. I was an adolescent male, and there had been an adaptation of Cider with Rosie on the TV, and there was a sex scene in it, not a particularly severe one, but there was. And I thought, okay, Cider with Rosie, I knew that's I've seen it, and maybe this has got dirty bits in it. So that's what made me read it. But once I'd got past the first page, I was kind of reading with my jaw dropped. Because I'd never read anything like this. It was beautiful. The words were beautiful. I couldn't believe it. I got to the end of it, and that was my inspiration. I mean, I'm kind of selfish in a way. I mean, yes, there are writers who I admire, like Stephen Donaldson, again, because his facility with language is just so awesome. And J.K. Rowling, not because her facility with language is awesome, but because she's such a fantastic storyteller. Mm. And these people, I admire them, and I would love to be that good. I don't assume that I am. Other people say I'm quite good, which is nice. But it was Cider with Rosie and Laurie Lee, and it that made me go, I want to do this. I want to write stuff. And immediately after that, I wrote two science fiction novels, one after the other, at the age of 15. I still have one of them. It's awful. But it's important to keep things like that, because you can go back to it and go, you know, I have improved. So, yeah.
And so what inspired Chimera?
About what inspires a particular book or whatever, because I don't know. I just get ideas. I mean, you know, I know lots of writers write things down, get an idea, and they'll grab their notebook and write down their idea. And I think, God, life's too short, because there are so many ideas. Why would I bother? You know, yes, I'm probably going to forget it, but there'll be another 10 along in a minute. So it's like buses. I get ideas from everywhere. So where did I get Chimera from? I don't know. To be honest, the second novel I wrote when I was 15, which even though I don't have a copy of it, I remember how I started it. And even then, it was an improvement on my original book because it had more reality in it. But in that book, there were it was a crazy science fiction fantasy mush up, and I say mush rather than any other word, which involved sort of magic crystals that were actually sciency, but people were changing their physical form by modifying their genes and becoming mythological types of creatures. So there's a whole bunch who turn themselves into centaurs, for example. Mm. Yeah, it's not as great as it sounds, if it sounds great at all. the thing is that in Chimera, we've got something similar to that going on. But I've grown up, and so now it's all gritty and realistic and lots of suffering. God, don't you pity our protagonists, the way we make them suffer.
And no senators.
Say again, sorry?
And no senators.
No, not in this case. There's a girl who could be a unicorn, except she isn't, but I won't do any spoilers.
Oh, it's a spoiler.
Trust me, she's not a unicorn. Anyway, yes, that was the other thing. There was an inspiration for Chimera. You've just reminded me. And that was that this was – I wrote it just after Buffy had finished in the UK. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, obviously Buffy was incredible. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to write something like Buffy, but not. I didn't want supernatural. I didn't want magic or anything like that. So I wanted to do a science fiction kick-ass heroine female story. Mm-hmm. That was my starting point. Everything else came from that. I can't tell you why it came from that, but it did. So I suppose, yes, there was that inspiration, I suppose. Yes.
A very good inspiration too.
Thank you very much. I'll be honest with you, actually. I worked with the director once. This was just at the point I was getting into steampunk, and he said, "You write like Joss Whedon."
Wow.
And I said, "Okay." Thank you. He said, "Well," he said, "because it's the characters and the humor and the way things twist." So I thought, I'll take that. That's absolutely, I'll take that.
I'm done here. I'll take that. See you later.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, on that lovely note, we might start to wrap up, and I'll let you get back to your Sunday morning.
Thank you.
So what are you working on right now?
That's actually a difficult question to answer. I was involved in a box set, which is how I happened to be a USA Today bestselling author. And for that, I wrote an original story set in my fantasy world, which was called Rebel Dragon. It was very commercial of me because I know, you know, dragons sell, you know. But it has to be said that I never write things normal. Yes, it's a fantasy story, but in my fantasy world, there are no elves, there are no dwarves, there is nothing that you would expect from a typical fantasy world. Even the magic's kind of weird. And I had to actually think about it. See, have I actually got dragons in this world? Because I don't Because basically, every the weird creatures in my world are mostly dinosaurs. They're dinosaurs that have evolved. Mm-hmm. So if the mammals and the dinosaurs evolved at the same time in a magical world. So I looked at this and I thought, well, okay, I'll write this rebel dragon thing. And it turned out that I had used the word dragon in the first book that I'd written a few years ago. So I thought, okay, good, can do dragons. Of course, they're not dragons. They don't breathe fire. They have feathers. And they don't have six limbs. They have four limbs. So technically, they're feathered wyverns. But we can call them dragons. It's fine. Anyway, I wrote that, and the book was a reasonable, the box set was a reasonable success, but I hadn't released this separately. But I had intended to write the sequel, two sequels before I released it, individually. So what happened? Yeah. So I'm actually halfway through the first sequel, but I'm in a bit of a quandary now. Here's a word of warning to any writer out there, any budding writer, is don't write too many sequels at once. Sorry, I said the wrong thing there. Don't write too many series at once because the fans of those series will want sequels. Mm. I have my Malia Anderson series. I have my Iron Pegasus series. I have my Frozen Beauty series. I have the Dragons of Esterness. I have the Eleanor series. I've also got an Erotica series under a pen name. So that's six. The Erotica series, by the way, is actually set in the steampunk universe. It's everything in my steampunk worlds, they all join up at the end. Anyway, so that's seven, I think. So either six or seven series. And everybody wants the next book in the series. Mm. And so now I'm in a bit of a quandary because I feel like I should finish the dragons stories, but I've promised the Iron Pegasus one so many times. So it's a warning. It's a warning. Anyway, so technically I'm working on the series Bible for Chimera. And then what I should do is finish the current story that I'm writing, which is the second in the Dragons of Esterness series. And then I ought to write the next Iron Pegasus book, because that's the one I've got most worked out in my head. But yeah, so technically I'm working on the second. Oh, of course, there's the next Chimera book. So that'll be another 200K thing.
Oh, you might need to go have a little lie down now.
Yeah, well, who's got time to lie down?
So it'll work out that cloning of yourself.
I desperately need that. Yes. Anyway, hello. Sorry, I was just going off on one there.
Completely fine. So I'll let you get back, seeing it sounds like you've got quite a bit on that you should be looking at. So where can people find you and your work?
Right. Well, I am on the Book of Face, although I generally only link up with writers there. I'm on Twitter as A Dad Insane. You're going to have notes on this, aren't you? Because this is a great name. It's completely unique in the entire internet. Mm-hmm. If you search for this name, you will find only me. That's A Dad Insane. But it's very difficult to spell. I'll spell it now very slowly, well, just once. It's A-D-A-D-D-I-N-S-A-N-E. And for any Bowie fans out there, you'll realize that it's actually Aladdin Sane, but with the L changed to a D. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Insane.
Now I understand.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, if you search that, you'll find me because I do everything under that name.
Mm. So you said you're on Wattpad, you're...
Yeah, I've only got a couple of things on Wattpad, a couple of short – I do have another couple of short things on Wattpad, which are also in my steampunk universe. But I'm on Amazon. If you honestly, if you search Steve Turnbull on Google, you will find me. The only thing you have to watch out for is the other Stephen R. Turnbull, who is also a writer. But he writes about sort of Far East Asian militaria.
No.
So it's easy to tell the difference, because if it's about that, then it's not me. But if the other one is me,
it's got dragons and clones and
fictiony things, science fiction and fantasy, steampunk, yeah,
mutants.
might be mutants.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Steve.
Okay.
And enjoy.
It's been a pleasure.
And enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you. And bye for now.
Thank you. This week's new technique I've learned from my very own guests on this podcast. This week I'm talking about reading widely and outside your writing genre. Now, I've always been a bookworm and read all over the shop, but recently I've focused my reading on speculative fiction, and that was for two reasons. I've been writing mainly in speculative fiction myself, and also I've been hosting a speculative fiction book review show on Art District Radio for the past year, and I wanted to expand my understanding of my own genre by reading the latest and revisiting the classics. But in the past year I've found myself missing my other favourite genres, and almost feeling like I'm cheating when I dip into a little crime or historical fiction. But when I did read Joe Nesbo or Adrian McKinty or Ken Follett, I found just as many writing lessons as reading Mervyn Peake, Octavia Butler or Ted Chiang. So in 2018, I'm changing up my book review podcast to focus on crime, mystery and thrillers in a new show called Dark Mysteries. So I'm going to read all the books and learn from every different type of writer. Thanks for listening to Write Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedst.com or madeline_dst on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedst.com under the Write Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?